My beloved people, first of all, I'm not terribly sure that I'll be able to continue this morning, but I'll try and see as far as I can go. At any rate, there is nothing in the bulletin this morning that needs to be pointed out to you that is pertinent. Important, yes, but perhaps we can read it for ourselves. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, there are times when we are really not quite sure of what we must be about. When we hear conflicting reports coming to us from all directions, and we find ourselves going from one to the other, from one to the other, who is it that is right? Who is it that is wrong? At such times as this, we should never become discouraged. But at such times as this, we should pray to the Holy Spirit, to the Holy Ghost, and that He will give us the grace for proper insight, the grace to see, the grace to understand. As these reports come to us from all directions, from just anybody and everybody, and the printed word flies to us in every form, we must be very, very careful not to accept anything on face value. If the report is not properly documented, if it is not sufficiently documented, if it does not come to us from sources that we can consider absolutely reliable and trustworthy, my beloved people, we should cast that report aside. Too much of what we hear today and see today and read today is improperly documented. And rumors follow rumors of every sort, of every kind, of every shape, of every description. And people go about dreadfully confused. It is time that we resort to prayer more earnestly than ever. Of course, we have always been people of prayer, but we should be more given to prayer. As we speak so much and so often about the interior life, which is something that we absolutely must nourish, we continue in our bulletins to write about the interior life and that which is built upon prayer. It isn't enough for us to simply say prayers. We've said that so many times before. Our lives must be lives of prayer. Our hardships, prayer. Our heartbreaks, prayer. Our suffering and sickness, prayer. Our pain, prayer. Everything has to be prayer. It is in this that we can show Almighty God, first of all, our temperament. And we show Him our sincerity to be of His mentality, of His desire. And then we must try, above all, I ask it in this question rather than make a statement. How many of us have gone off to ourselves in the privacy of our hearts and just had a conversation with Almighty God? And in the conversation with Almighty God, who did all the talking? Did we allow God to get a word in edgewise? Did we allow God to give us an opinion? Or did we force God? Or did we tell God, this is what I think it should be? Just this past week, I've had two telephone calls from a certain individual from another part of the country. Of course, in this case, this individual was talking to me. Very good. And this is what the tone of the conversation is, and it went into the words also, really. I want to ask you a question about thus and such. I want your opinion, I want your instruction on this particular case, or this particular question. Now, I realize that you're going to give me an answer, which I've already made up my mind what I'm going to think, but I just want to hear what your opinion is. It will not change my mind, right or wrong. And he proceeded to tell me what his educational qualifications were. So if a man is going to come to God with the same approach, with the same attitude, dear God, I'm going to ask you thus and such, but my mind is already made up as to the way and to what I'm going to do. But I'm just going to ask you just to see what you've got to say about the matter. How many of us approach God with that temperament, that feeling, that thought in mind? How many of us do all the talking? How many of us do any listening? You remember the story of the little man who used to come into the church, just sat there, the little ignorant little man who was going home from his work, and when asked what he did in church, he said, I just sit there, I look at him, and he looks at me. Now we may take the erroneous thought on that and think that there was no communication between the two. My beloved people, there was a lot of communication between the two. An enormous amount of communication between the two. And in this communication between the two, there was much love being sent in both directions. And since we have come to become a generation that is totally unfamiliar with love, or we have a dictionary definition of it, but in its operation, we do not understand, we do not comprehend the way love operates. And that love many times communicates its strongest message in silence, total and complete silence. And we sit there. I look at him. And he looks at me. Can we understand that? Can we possibly grasp what that means? And in these days of much meaningless verbiage, how meaningless is oftentimes our verbiage with God when we sit and do all the jibber-jabbering and do not give God an opportunity to touch our hearts. It's serious, it's grim, and the coldness of the world is getting colder all the time. And there's so little that is today being given to God. As I have complained constantly, in the literature that you receive, booklets and pamphlets and papers and arguments and debates and proofs and whatever, regardless of who sends it out, how much ink today is being used to tell people, any people, every people, everywhere people, telling people what they must do to save their immortal souls? How much ink is being used for this? So my beloved people, as I said, I don't know how long I can continue this morning. I encourage you to read the bulletins carefully. Last week, we had in the bulletins a questionnaire. As we look back over the week, and of course I know not the answer of this, only you know the answer. How many of us took time to sit down and in the silence and in the privacy of our own homes, of our own rooms, of our own hearts, how many of us sat down to checklist to see the things that we have to correct? How much time did we spend in this? Or perhaps, to justify ourselves, have any of us said, oh, but that's for monks and nuns, it doesn't apply to us? Not so. It is not just for monks and for nuns. It's for us all. Because in so doing, we flush out of our hearts and minds and souls those things which prevent us, seriously prevent us, blockade us, keep us from sitting down to look at Him and to have Him look at us. That's where we are. And if sometimes we come in and we look at Him and feel that He's not looking at us, as can happen, then that checklist that we were given last week will give us the answer, why? Why is it that when I try to look at Him and want Him to look at me, I feel cold all over? Why is that? Whose fault is that? Is it God's fault? Or is it my fault? We want to love God. It's our desire to love God. It's our wish to love God. We dress up with our best clothes when we go out to visit our friends. But how careless we might be, how self-centered we might be, when we look into our wardrobe of humility and patience and goodness and love. What are the clothings that we put on when we go in to see our Lord? Time is passing by quickly. Today is the 9th Sunday after Pentecost. Another week or two, you'll be going into your stores. And what will you see there? Christmas is already here. And the year is speeding by. And we too are speeding by to our final moment. What are we doing to prepare ourselves for that final moment? We speak of the same things all the time. What else is there to talk about? And if you were to boil down all of sacred scripture, if you were to boil down all of that our blessed Lord had to say, boil it down and let all of everything evaporate with just the very simple, simple substance of his message, it could all be put into a handful of words. What are those words leading to? It's almost a pleading, saying to us, please do the things that will be for your good and for your salvation. That's all he's telling us. That's all he asks of us. And look, just look for a moment, what this individual, Jesus Christ, did to prove the importance of what he was committed to, the importance of what he was telling us. When he picked up a heavy piece of wood after being brutally bruised, and he carried it up to the place of his execution, and there, as it were, he said to us, this is what I mean, that the salvation of your soul is this important, my beloved people.